Blog Talk Radio.
Able to reunite
in the gospel of Christ. And so, without any further ado, we're going to go into our opening prayer. And I would love for you that would bow your beautiful heads as we go down and reference God in prayer. Father God, we come with grateful hearts of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for enabling us together in unity once again around this spectrum, coming together as pilgrims through this barren land. We're asking you to anoint these lips of clay, to bring a rhema word to those that may or may not know of you in the pardons of their sins. Hallelujah, God. Grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom, to those that may are hurting deep within the epitome of their very soul. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus Christ, and we shall always and all say in unity, amen and amen. And I just want to let you know, this is just a word to those of you that may not know the reason I'm here, but I'd like to share with you tonight my position and my assignment is to bring you the gospel of Jesus Christ. And my mission, hallelujah, is to preach and to teach and to edify. That is my main purpose and my mission is to bring to you the divine word of truth. My mission is to encourage you daily, hallelujah, and to have a heart-to-heart relationship with God. And to those who already know him personally but want to know him better. Some of you may not yet know God in a personal way. Through his Son, you may think of yourself as a Christian because your parents took you to church as a child, or because you have participated in church activities. You might have family influence and church connection are an important part of life. But those experiences don't make a person a Christian. We go back centuries ago, we find out that there was a religious leader by the name of Nicodemus. He approached Jesus and said, we know, hallelujah, we know, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That you are a teacher that come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. That's in the law of John 3:2. And Jesus answered with an unexpected statement. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's in verse 3. The conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus pointed to a problem that had been around since the early days of human existence. In the Garden of Eden, before Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they enjoyed a close relationship with his creator. But after Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, a fundamental change took place. They experienced the consequences of their disobedience, which included banishment from the garden. That's in the law of Genesis 3:8-24. Sin had created a barrier where one, there had been an intimate union between God and man. And that alienation has perished since that fateful day. All of us were made for fellowship with our Creator. But we have chosen to go our own way. And we see that the Bible says that all we are like sheep that have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That's in the law of Isaiah 53:6. And the tragic result of this rebellion against God is spiritual death. Adam was told that on the day he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he would surely die. That's in the law of Genesis 2 and 16 through 17. And Adam ate of the forbidden fruit, and at that moment, hallelujah, he died spiritually. Although he lived on physically for many years, his fellowship with God had been broken as a result of his sin. That's why Jesus' words to Nicodemus were such good news. Jesus told him that God, Holy Spirit, can transform our hearts and restore our fellowship with God. But how does this happen, you may ask? Pastor Ward, the Lord is eager to forgive your sins, give you the gift of eternal life, and renew your fellowship with him. But there are some biblical requirements. We must first recognize the seriousness of our sins. We need to admit that we are sinners and cannot save ourselves. And the Bible tells us that all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. That's in the law of Romans 3 and 23. And our human tendency is to rationalize and compare ourselves to others. But God set a standard of perfection, and no one can please him based on self-effort. The Bible tells that all are righteous, are like filthy rags. That's in the law of Isaiah 64 and 6. We cannot escape hell and earn our way into heaven by being good enough. For the wages of sin is death. But we know that the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We find out also in the book of Romans 6 and 23, the good news is that Christ suffered the consequences of our sin. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Good demonstrated his own love toward us. And that while we were sinners, Christ died." Romans 5 and 8, this means that Jesus Christ, hallelujah, who never did anything wrong, but God gave his own life on the cross so that the penalty of sin could be paid and his righteousness applied to us in the law of 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. But if we are not enough just to know that Christ died for us, we need to act on this by receiving him as Savior and Lord. We need to know, hallelujah, that the Bible tells us that as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. That's in the law of John 1 and 12. And I want to know this one thing. You, my listeners, out there in digital radio land, are you ready to make that decision? If you are, you can go to Jesus in prayer and share with him your desire to receive forgiveness for sins and begin an eternal relationship with him. Hallelujah. And we know that you can go to God and you can say, hallelujah, God, I am a sinner. I have sinned before thee. And I want you to come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. And at that present moment, we know that God will welcome you into his kingdom. And you can say, hallelujah, Jesus, I admit that I am a sinner. Thank you for dying on the cross to pay the penalty for my sins. I now receive you as my Savior and my Lord. Take my life and make the kind of person you want me to be. Amen. And I want to ask you one last question. Did you pray that prayer? If you did, you can have the assurance that Christ is in your life. The Apostle John wrote, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." That's in the law of John, 1 John 5 and 13. Your devotion time will now take on a new meaning. Jesus Christ looks forward to spending time with you and you with him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so you are now a new creature in Christ Jesus. And we find out that Christ, who is with us, he is the God that is with us. He is the Christ that is the life within us. And he has to grow in each of us. Thus, his mystical body grows and expands. In vision, the whole of mankind is on the way to an ever greater unity with Christ, in whom evolution reaches point omega and incarnation achieves its pleroma. The human race will be accomplished in him, and he in the human race. The true meaning of man's life and the purpose of the world is that Christ may become more and more the all in all in each of us. But for it to reach its pleroma in us, it has to grow into a true image of Christ and to become a living creature through Christ. Hallelujah. So that the world at large may be filled evermore with the presence of the risen Lord. That is the meaning and the purpose of both the individual and the collective existence of mankind, even as the whole creation itself is directed towards this goal. From the beginning till now, the entire creation as we know it has been groaning in one great act of giving birth. We read in the law of Romans 8 and 22, Paul often developed thoughts along these lines. God has put all things under Christ's feet and has made him as the ruler of everything, the head of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him, which fills the whole creation. That's in the law of Ephesians 1 and 22 through 23. All baptized in Christ, you have all clothed yourself in Christ, and there are no more distinctions between Jews and Greeks, slave and free, male and female, but all of you is one in Christ Jesus. That's in the law of Galatians 3 and 26 through 28. Now the church is his body, he is his head, and he is the beginning. He was first to be born from the dead, so that he should be first in every way, because God wanted the pleroma to be found in him. That's in the law of Colossians 1 and 18 through 19. After that will come the end, when Christ hand over the kingdom of God, the Father, having done away with every sovereignty, authority, and power. For he must be king until he has put all his enemies under his feet. And the last of the enemy to be destroyed is death. For everything is to be put under his feet. And when everything is subject to him, then the Son himself will be subject in his turn to the one who subjects all things to him, so that God may be all in all. That's in the law of 1 Corinthians 15 and 24 through 28. In a sense, there is only one happening in this world, the incarnation. The apotheosis of this will be the complete Christ, incorporating all humanity in himself and clothed with the universe as with a robe, abandoning himself to his Father. From Mary, we can learn total respectively in order that this total incarnation may continue in and through us. We can pray for ourselves and for each other that Christ incarnate may enliven and deepen the meaningful of his own life and all creation. The prayer easily turns our own life and all creation into a truly apostolic prayer. Also, since the best wish we can ever have for another is that he discover more who Christ is and how he is the one person we all are longing for, whether we know his name or not. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. And in ending, hallelujah. I hope and I pray that I have said something to impact your spirit. And I hope and pray that I've said something to infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. Until we meet again, I want you to go in God as God go in you. And we welcome your correspondence. We welcome your every prayer petition. You can submit your correspondence in care of the old Ship of Zion. The email address is janiceallaboutgod@yahoo.com. Until we meet again, you go in God and be blessed. Bye for now. On a note, we have completed God with us. Our last scripture reading and dialogue was from John 3 and 16 through 17. And we have completed God with us in volume 3. God bless you, Kingdom family, friends, constituents, kinship family, and those that are living in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. God bless you once again. Bye for now.
praying for you.